Jesus, we thank you. You are holy. You are worthy. And as we're in this atmosphere of worship and praise this night, we surrender all that we are to you. For you deserve all of the glory, all of the praise. And as we close our eyes and just look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, we recognize your holiness. We recognize your majesty. We recognize your dunamis, your power, your omnipotence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in this house tonight. Touch every life, touch every heart. Give us a revelation, Lord Jesus, of your holiness, of your purity. And most of all, Lord Jesus, give us that revelation of your intense love, your unconditional, unwavering love, unconditional, no strings attached. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's the song that the holy angels encircle and encamp around the throne room of God every moment of every day, forever and ever, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy is his name. And he deserves all the glory. And why do they say that? Why do we say that? Because every time we encounter our God, we see something new. We see something more powerful than yesterday, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is all powerful. He is everything. And every time that we spend time with him, we see a new facet, and then all we are left to say, just like those angels, is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Lord, we just want to have surrendered hearts. And as we share the word tonight, as we delve into the riches of your wisdom, I thank you that every word that is pronounced from these lips would be anointed of the Holy Spirit, and that every heart would be receptive of what God has to say tonight. We surrender all, Lord. We surrender all to you, for you are worthy of all that we are and all that we ever hope to be. So we surrender it to you in Jesus' name. God is so good, amen. He came to seek and save that which was lost, and of which I am one, you are one, and there's many out there who are still not one, and that one that he is seeking. And I just want to share with you tonight a message, a very, very simple message tonight. Well, I'll try and keep it simple anyway. And that is seeking God, seeking the Lord. And it's something that is, in our lives, we struggle at times to seek the Lord on different situations that arise and confront us each and every day in relationships, finances, whatever the problem is in the church, at work, school. There's situations that arise, and the first instance, we want to try and fix it ourselves. We want to try and seek a resolution and try to get the problem resolved by ourselves. Is anyone like that in here tonight who wants to fix it themselves? Yeah. Well, I certainly am. I'm the first one to put my hand up. But God doesn't want that. He wants us to seek him for everything. He wants to seek us to seek him in the hard times. But there's something else. He wants us to seek him in the good times. When things are going rosy and you're tiptoeing through those tulips and everything's lining up, the jigsaw puzzle's coming together, he still wants you to seek him. Seek his counsel. Seek his wisdom, because he loves you with an everlasting love, and he will guide you. He will put those jigsaw puzzles of your life in the right place, at the right time and in the right way, and will bring forth great blessing in your life, because that's his desire. I've actually done a PowerPoint tonight, which is something that I don't usually do, because I'm very slack at keeping to the script, but I'm definitely going to do that tonight, I promise you. If I don't, just someone pull me up, okay? Seeking the Lord. First things first, we need to seek first his kingdom. Matthew 6:33, if you're taking notes, and that should be the next slide, I believe. And you can read that from there. I'm just going to read some scriptures tonight, because I'm in a church, I'm a preacher, so I think I should share some scriptures, yeah? So let's do that, and let's read through some of these words. And I don't want to get this out of context, because sometimes when you pick out scriptures, they don't mean what they mean because you've missed the context. But this means what it means, and that is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I was unable to read that whole passage to you, but he's talking about the worries of this life, the worries of this world, the challenges that we face, that we need to learn to seek God first. Come to him first. Let him be the first port of call. Don't go to this one or to that one. Don't go to your own self and your self-wisdom and your self-righteousness, but seek the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because the righteousness that is spoken about there is the righteousness of Christ Jesus that is dwelling in you and in me. When you are a believer, if you're a believer, and I don't know all of you, I know most of you, but if you're a believer, you have the righteousness of Christ Jesus dwelling in your life right now, and he is never going to leave you nor forsake you. That is his promise. So seek first his kingdom. Don't seek first your own ideas. Don't seek first Mr. Smith down the road. I hope there's no Smiths in here. Don't seek anything else or anyone else, but go to him first. I wanted to get that done first in this message, because I believe that is, if you hear nothing else tonight, I think you can go home with that. On the next problem that you encounter, which could well be tomorrow morning, I want you to seek God first. Go to God first. And it's not, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say I want you to. God wants you to. I have no right to say that. I can just teach you that. But Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom. In Philippians 4:19, the other passage there, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's a passage that we have looked at in times gone past. I've come out of the Word of Faith movement. And riches, immediately when you say riches, it's riches of this world. It's the cars. It's the motorbikes. It's the houses. It's all the money. It's all of the things of this world. But that's not what God's riches are. God's riches, you know, the greatest rich of God, if that's a way to say it, that I have in my heart is Jesus. And the relationship that he desires to have with me, and the relationship I want to bounce back to him. We ought to bounce back that relationship that we have with him, because he's already given that to us. He first loved us. We didn't first love him, amen? And I want you to be encouraged by that passage tonight as well, as part of seeking God and seeking first his kingdom, that he will supply all of those riches. He'll supply those needs. You have to have faith that he will supply it. You will have to have that faith in your heart. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That doesn't mean you have to come to church every Sunday to hear the word of God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But the point is, the Word of God, when you look at the Word of God, capital W, the Word of God is Jesus. So faith comes by hearing by the Word, by Jesus, by his words. And that is the Word as we find in Scripture, in this big book. But his Word and his speech is going all the time in your heart through the Holy Spirit. He's always speaking to you. It will always align with this. It will always align with the Word, because the Holy Spirit cannot make mistakes and contradict himself. But Jesus is the Word. So when you're listening to Jesus, when you're following him, when you're taking that counsel from him, he will guide you, and he will supply your needs. He will guide you into the right place. The next point that I wanted to make in relation to seeking, and these first points that I'm making about seeking the kingdom and about seeking the Lord, are all benefits that God wants to give to you if you do this. Now, the next one is, there is no lack for those who seek him. And there's a passage in Psalm 34:10 that says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 17, which I haven't got up there, it says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variableness or variation. Every good and perfect gift. So when we look at that we who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, we won't lack anything that God wants to get to us if we seek him. That's the catch. We can't just sort of sit back on our lazy chairs and just, you know, God, pour on all the blessing. I deserve it. I've done so much for your church. I've done so much for your people. Just pour it all on. No, we need to seek him. We need to pursue him. The word seek means to want to obtain, to get to. You know, tonight I pray that each and every one of you came not to seek just to hear a preacher or hear music or catch up with your friends, but to seek a revelation and an insight directly from God's throne into your heart. Because one word from God will change someone's life, not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, but forever. One word. One word can turn a life around. So there is no lack for those who seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord, the next one, seeking the Lord delivers us from all fear. We live in a world of fear. The opposite of fear is faith. So if you have faith, you can overcome fear. But seeking the Lord here, as we read this passage, it says here, 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from some of my fears, or most of them. All of them. All of my fears. Every fear that is thrown at you, every fiery dart that the enemy throws, that you can hold that shield of faith, and that dart, when it hits the shield, it bluntens. And then he picks it up and throws it again. But hey, devil, you got a blunt dart. I've been there, done that. I know my God delivered me, and he'll deliver me again. So I don't have to have fear, because faith is overcome. The shield of faith. Hold that shield of faith when the enemy comes in like a storm, like a flood, and tries to overwhelm you and to intimidate you. Jezebel intimidated Elijah. He had just had one awesome victory at Mount Carmel, the 400 prophets of Baal, or I think that was the number. But it wasn't too long after that intimidation from Jezebel come to him. And what did he do? He ran. This man who had seen this miracle of God, he ran because of intimidation. So my encouragement to you based off that little story there, don't run, because God is for you, not against you. And if you can initiate faith by the word of God in your heart and in your life, if you can initiate faith in your life, you can stand firm and say, hey, devil, I'm nothing, but Jesus Christ in me is everything, and he has defeated you. You are a defeated foe. You have no hold on me anymore. And I don't want to get all hypey about this and all up in the stars and be so heavenly minded that it's no earthly good. It's true. If God is with you, no one can be against you and succeed. If it's God ordained, it will flourish. It will prosper. It will do what it needs to do. His word does not return to him void. It accomplishes that which for which it has been sent. And it has been sent to set you free, to set me free. Jesus was sent to set us free. Free from what? To save us from what? The wrath to come. Sin bought death. Jesus bought life. If you want to hang around in death, that's fine. But Jesus wants you in the life camp. Amen? So seeking the Lord will deliver you from all fear. Seeking the Lord allows us to dwell in his presence. And this is a wonderful passage here. King David, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing I seek. There's many things that we seek in this life. There's many, many things, wealth and health and all of these things, great, great aspirations. But David had a revelation here that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. When we dwell in the house of the Lord, and that's not just talking about church, it's great to be, we're in the house of the Lord, but this is a building. You know what? I want you to do this. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in you, and you dwell with him. He is with you always. That's the one thing we want to seek, his presence in our lives. Because when his presence in our lives, the fruits of the Holy Spirit will be in operation. The blessing of God will be upon us. Nothing will ever go wrong. bzz, wrong. I had to throw that in because I didn't want you to get too excited. But the point is, when you are in his presence, there is a fullness of joy. There's pleasures forevermore. And you have to understand that that's where he wants you to be. And it's not like he's hiding down here saying, seek me and find me if you can. He's open. He's out in front. He's right in front of you. Pilate, when he was before Jesus, said, "What is truth?" And truth was standing right there in front of him. God is not hiding, but he's revealing himself. He reveals himself. So when you open up the word, when you pray, when you have on your heart an unction of the Holy Spirit, a leading of the Holy Spirit to go and bless someone or something or to do something for the kingdom, God blesses that. God blesses that, and he wants you to be blessed as a result. And I'm talking about, it's great to be blessed. It's great, you know, I have a home, I have a wonderful wife, family, I have cars, I've got things that I need. And I appreciate all that, but I don't put my faith in that. I don't put my confidence in that. I give thanks to God for that. But above all things, I give thanks to God for a relationship that he's given me with him. Because when all is said and done, when all is stripped away, that's all I've got that matters. Because everything else is going to be burnt up. Everything else is going to be burnt up. So seeking the Lord allows us to dwell in his presence, and David knew that well. And I believe the Lord wants us to know that well as well. The next one is keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, this is a petition of our heart. When we come here and we read this in Matthew 7:7-8, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Is there any rejection in that passage? There's no rejection, because you know why? God is the author of it. And in God, there is no rejection. There is no rejection. In this world, you'll have rejection. You'll go to a job interview, and if you do actually hear back from it, and, you know, sometimes you don't even hear back from it, but if you do hear back from it, it's, "Sorry, sir or madam, you have been unsuccessful on this occasion." Rejection. There's rejection in families, there's rejection in the world everywhere. But I can tell you one place where you will not find rejection. Now, I've got to be careful what I say here, but God does not reject you or me. He rejected Saul as king. There is issues in the scripture and situations where he rejected people because of their disobedience. I need to just put that in a little side note, disclaimer. But God ultimately is not a rejecting God. He's an embracing God. He's an accepting God. He's a God that loves you with an everlasting love, like Jeremiah said, to a nation that was on its way to judgment, pending judgment. So keep asking and you will receive. Keep seeking and you'll find. What's the last one? Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. How's that? So if there's things in your life that you've been asking for a long, long time, I want to share a little testimony just real quick with you. Tonight is that I'm blind in my left eye. Whoop. Did you know that? I've been blind in my left eye pretty much. It's a blur blind. It's not a black blind, but it's a blur blind. It's legally blind. Can't drive a car with that eye if that's all I had, but praise the Lord, I've got a right eye that's good. And I found that out through a camera lens, taking a photo in the old cameras when I was 14 years old, or thereabouts. And I said, "This camera's lens is all blurry." And then I said, "Oh, maybe it's not, because my right eye's seeing fine through it." So one thing led to another, and I went to the optometrist, and it was a condition called, in the science condition, keratoconus, where the cornea comes to a point and it distorts the vision. Now, when I look at that, I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been knocking for the healing since I was 14. I am now 47. I haven't been healed yet, but it does not alter my thought towards God, because I know if I'm healed in this life, fine, but I know for sure that I'm going to be healed in the new life. So be encouraged by that. If you got something that he just hasn't answered, I'm not going to be that word of faith preacher that I one day used to be. where it says, if you're not healed, you've done something wrong. You've sinned. You've fallen short. I'm not going to be that person anymore. I was that person for a long time. But God is all I need. And I believe he can heal and he will heal. There's people who will be healed. But it's up to him how, when, and who it is. Do you agree? I believe that. I'm passionate about that. Because I went for too long, naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing, and getting nothing. Because, yes, some got it. But God's no respecter of persons. So I couldn't understand it. So I encourage you to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. He will give you the answer, if not on this side of eternity, on the other side. The answer will come. But my prayer is for you tonight, just to be encouraged, if you are going through anything, sickness or relationship problems, and you're asking and seeking God about it and knocking for that door to be open, I pray with you and I come into agreement with you. Pastor Dave, we come into agreement with you on that, that prayer will be answered. But then after that, it's up to the Lord. It's up to him. Amen? And tied in with that is our next point, which is don't grow weary in doing good. Now, this is a specific passage in Galatians. Galatians was a church that started off in the spirit and ended up in the flesh, basically. They started off exactly how they're supposed to start off, I guess, but then eventually they started to do things in the flesh rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. And one such passage here in Galatians 6:9, it should be up there, and it is, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. If we continue to seek the Lord despite what's happening, don't look at the circumstances, don't look at the symptoms, don't look at all of that, but look to the author and the finisher of your faith, because that will bring a peace that will transcend understanding. It'll bring a peace to your heart because you'll say, Lord, well, it says in the word, I'm not to grow weary while I'm doing good. Now, seeking you, praising you, giving you all the glory, even though I'm not a good person, because the Bible says that, that's a good thing to do. That's a godly thing to do. That's a godly person who would seek the Lord. And he's encouraging you, or encouraging the Galatian church in this case, but we can learn from this, is that we should not grow weary in doing the right thing. Don't grow weary when you know that the call of God is on your life and you're doing what he's saying to do, but still nothing happening. Have you ever tried to run an electrical item without plugging it into the power or without a battery? Does it work? It doesn't work. There's no power there. But if you plug it in, it works. But I want you to understand tonight that if you grow weary and you give up and you walk away from seeking, asking and knocking and relying on the Lord, the answer could be just around the corner and you could have just missed it. But ultimately, he wants us to keep on keeping on. He wants, when the going gets tough, for us to get tougher, to stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because his reward is close with him. This next one, those who seek the Lord find him. This is a Deuteronomy passage. It's quite long, but I will read it because I think it's worth reading. Well, the whole Bible's worth reading, isn't it? But I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations when the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods and the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. So seeking is very closely tied to obeying. Seeking is also important when you're in distress, when there's a challenge, and I've already mentioned that tonight. But Israel were in distress a lot of the time because of themselves. They brought judgment upon themselves. If you take a read through the book of Judges, that we just see a cycle going around and around and around in a circle, that the people of Israel continually found themselves under judgment. But then God sent the deliverer, and he delivered them. Because why? Because they cried out. They sought the Lord. They sought the Lord because of the pain. So when you're in distress, this is a place that we don't want to be. This is a place that we don't want to go. But sometimes we are there. We find ourselves there. No one wants to be distressed. No one wants to be in turmoil in their life. Everyone, who wants peace in their life? Three of you. That's fine. If that's all there is, well, God wants you to have peace. Amen. He wants you to have that peace. I knew you wouldn't all put your hands up. I'm getting to know this church. But I know all of you wanted to put your hands up because everyone wants peace. I want peace. You want peace. I know Jody says to me she wants peace sometimes. But those who seek the Lord find him, and in the times of distress are some, you know, God has promised that you will find if you obey him, if you listen to him, if you go into his direction. My favorite passage is in Jeremiah 29:11-13, and this is a very well known passage. Seeking the Lord gets his attention. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's the key in this passage. You know, that first passage there, I know the thoughts, we hear that time and time again. But the key here is that if Israel, or Judah, or Judah in this case, then you will call upon me and go and pray, and I will listen. If we can get into our hearts tonight, if you go home with nothing else except seek ye first and other things, go home that when I seek the Lord, God listens. God reacts. It gets his attention. It gets his attention. And when you get God's attention, I tell you what, you've got an audience that is like no other. How is that? Like, I appreciate you guys coming out on a Sunday night to hear the word of God tonight. You're a great congregation. But I can tell you, I'd rather be preaching to God. I'd rather be talking to him. Amen, wouldn't you? What a pleasure. What a pleasure, what an absolute pleasure to be able to have him as an audience listening to your petitions, to your prayers. So, and the last part here, it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Everything that is within you, your entire being, search for him and you will find him. He's not a God that will go back on his word. If his word says it, that settles it. If his word says that if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. You know, I'm not going to be hiding. I'm not going to be hiding behind here so you can't see me. But I'm going to be totally open to you so that my presence will be upon your life. So seeking the Lord, and this is the last point of some of the points that I've sort of come up with. I won't say the introduction to this message, but the message. Seeking the Lord leaves the past behind. And this passage here found in Philippians says, not that I have already attained. Don't worry about the A there if it's there. I forgot to take that out. Or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We see a great blueprint here. I will call it a blueprint because we need to look at this passage and see what Paul had gone through. He had plenty in the past to think about. He had plenty in the past to regret, plenty in the past, even within after the road to Damascus experience when he became the true follower of Jesus Christ and the apostle that would write 2/3 of the New Testament. He had plenty of stuff behind there, but he chose to forget those things that were behind and to press forward to the prize, to the goal. And what was the ultimate goal? To be in the everlasting presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your ultimate goal. We have so many goals in life. this life that we live, whatever it is, whatever amount of years it is, the decisions we make in this life will affect our whole eternity. But there's one decision in particular that we make in this life that will affect it, and that's whether or not we're going to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior or not. The Scripture teaches that there's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin and all that, and that's all scriptural. But I can tell you there's a sin that is greater than that, and it's tied in with that, and that is the sin of unbelief. Because when you don't believe, like the Pharisees, let's use them as an example. When you choose to not believe and not seek God and not worry about Him, you're not going to repent. You're going to not recognize the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. You're not even going to recognize it. You're going to judge it and say it's of the devil or it's just, you know. So we need to be very careful. But getting back to what this passage, this last one that I wanted to share here on this section, is that Paul chose to forget those things. He chose to forget the past. And in the Gospels, it also talks that he who puts his hand to the plow looking back isn't fit for my kingdom. So we're all workmen in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. You're plowing that vineyard every day. Every time you come to church, every day you go downtown, every day you wake up, you're in that vineyard whether you like it or not. Don't look back. Don't look at the mistakes you made before. But just seek the Lord to deliver you from those consequences, if He will, He's able, to bring you to a higher place in Him and allow His Spirit to be the guide for your life. I've got five final points here that I want to just share with you tonight. And it's very basic points, but when we seek God, there's stages of in life where we seek God. So when I was younger, I sought the Lord when I was 14 years old and I gave my heart to Him. But then there came a time where in the relationship that He started to prepare me. And this is what I just want to share tonight. Seeking the Lord prepares you. This is step one. Seeking the Lord prepares you. Now, when we look at King David as just a quick example, Samuel anointed him as king. Did he become king at that time? Was there a time of preparation? There was a time that he was prepared. There was a time he was tested. He had opportunity to kill King Saul on multiple occasions. But did he? No, he chose. That was all part of his preparation. Did he eventually become king? Yes, he did. But he had to be prepared. I've just used him. There's many other examples as well. But I've used him in relation to the seeking the Lord prepares you. Seeking the Lord positions you. Seeking the Lord positions you. And we look at another example in the Old Testament of Joseph. He ended up in Egypt. You all know the story. But he was strategically positioned by God for a calamity that was going to happen into the future, and also tied into what the covenant that God had with that bloodline. Amen? So we see that God positions you. And did Joseph, was he a seeker of God? Absolutely he was. He was a diligent seeker of God. And he was rewarded for that. In fact, he was rewarded to the point that he became second in charge of all of Egypt. And as a result of being in that position, when disaster came, he was there for his family. And he welcomed them in. Just to cut the long story short, otherwise we'll be here all night if I explain that story. But we're looking at those two points. He prepares, he positions us. And then promotion comes. Promotion comes. Promotion come to Joseph. Promotion comes to each one who is prepared and then positioned and then in the right place. God will position you and then prepare you, position you, and then promote you when you are around the people that you're called to be around. You know, we have to be around people that we're equally yoked with, like-minded believers. Have you ever heard of that before? Because sometimes, you know, just because there's someone out there that they speak in the Christianese language and they're doing all the Christianese stuff, sometimes they, I'm not saying it's always the case, but sometimes they can be a hurdle for you. They can be holding you back from what God wants you to do. But God wants you to climb that stairwell, and the only way with him is up. Amen? That he wants to promote you to a place where his glory will be manifest in your life, where his presence will be manifest in your life. And then God wants to prosper you. In 3 John 1:2, which we haven't got it up there, but it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." God prospers those who are obedient to him. And part of that obedience is seeking him. When you seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with everything that you are, when you're seeking him, when you're surrendered to him, he's going to bring prosperity. And not prosperity in the way that the world thinks, but prosperity in the way God thinks. That he wants you to bring you to a higher and a deeper place. I like those two words when it comes to God, higher and deeper. Because there's too much lower and shallow happening. But we want to go higher. We want to go deeper in a relationship with God and his people, with his in the Word of God, in prayer, in everything that pertains to life and godliness. We want to go to deeper places with him in praise and worship. And get this, in your ministry. It's a very important point that I want to bring out. We're almost finished, by the way, so it won't be too much longer. Do you know each one of you sitting here are ministers of the gospel? Did you know that? You know, there's a lot of people sitting in churches around the place who don't realize that they're all ministers of the gospel. Doesn't mean that you're a pulpit minister sometimes, but you have a ministry. Some of you in here just looking, I know what you're doing at the moment in the church, and you found that ministry that you believe you're called to. But God wants to bring you to a deeper place in that ministry and perhaps into other areas where God calls you in the future. But I want to encourage you with that. As you seek God on a daily basis, he will reveal new revelations, new insights. Kathy, with the children's church, is that what we call it? We don't call it Sunday school. I had to get that right. Children's church. You know, you've got a curriculum and everything, but seek the Lord, and who knows what might happen. Amen. Just a word of encouragement to you, because I know your passion. I just want to encourage you with that, Kathy, because, and I'm sure Pastor Dave would be the same, because we all need to ask the Lord, I want to seek you in everything that I do. When I prepare a message, I have to seek the Lord. I don't just turn up here on a Sunday night and say, I've just whipped this together for you all. No, I have to prepare. I have to prepare. And a lot of the things that I've prepared haven't even been said tonight. Because we need to understand that the Lord wants to bring us to a higher and a deeper place than we've ever been before. One more point about prosperity, and that's prosperity in its true sense. In the true definition and the true sense of the word, does not and cannot exist outside of God. True prosperity. God is prosperity. So if you're in Christ, you're prosperous. I don't care if you've got $25 left in your bank account. You're prosperous because the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that makes us prosperous. And the last point is seeking God will perfect you. Not in this life. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to be perfect, but you are going unto perfection. There's two groups at the end of this life that we know. And that's the group that will hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. You've been faithful. I'm a faithful God and you've been a faithful servant, so enter into my rest. That's group one. I suggest that's a good group for each one of us, but I will tell you group two. Group two, and that can be found in Matthew 7, 21, 23, group two that is. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then a little bit down that passage, it says that they'll want to enter and he will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." What a scary place. What a scary place to be. So there's two groups. There's sheep and there's goats. I want to be a sheep, according to what the word teaches. And I would pray that for each one of you. Which group are you a part of tonight? I pray that you're a group of that well done, good and faithful servants. I pray that that I am, that my family is, that everyone that I meet, that I want them to be part of that. We're going to come around the communion table tonight, and we've got a passage here that I want to share with you to close the service. And the message tonight has been, if you hadn't already got it, is seeking God, seeking the Lord. And I want to carry that into communion because that's what communion really is. It's a time of seeking Him, appreciating what He did on the cross of Calvary. I'm just going to turn over to Luke chapter 24, and I'm just going to read verses 1 to 8. And I just, is anyone helping with communion tonight? No, it's all right, I can do it. I'll do it. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. This is after the death of Jesus. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed, which is troubled, about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And we look at the women here, the group that was here seeking to come and with the spices and all that for Jesus, assuming that he'd be still there and they wanted to prepare him and to do what they needed to do. Was it Joseph of Arimathea? Is that the name of the... I always had to get that out of the database. But he had just bought him. But what happened, and what is so wonderful here, and there's a song written about this many years ago, is the stone was rolled away. Death couldn't hold him down. And as a result of the relationship that you and me have with Jesus, death can't hold us down either. Amen? Sickness, disease, all of the challenges in this life will come. But Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And we come around communion. And how we do communion in church is just a mark of respect, yes. This is not how the Jews do communion, as you would know. It's a meal. It's a fellowship together, breaking bread from house to house. We've made this a bit of a tradition, but nevertheless, it's a time where we come to the point of appreciation of what Jesus did. And just like those women who came to that tomb and the angel said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" If you want to find Jesus, you've got to go where there's life, because that's where he is, because he is life. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." Amen. Jesus touched my heart many years ago. He's touched all of our hearts. But the more I seek him, the more I want him, the more I need him. Those words aren't all in that song, but as soon as I start singing that, I just believe that as we seek God, as we show our appreciation to the King of the universe, that we just get closer to him, we embrace his goodness, his mercy, his love, his compassion. The fruits of the Holy Spirit manifest in our lives more and more. The gifts of the Holy Spirit start to move in his church when we seek him. I so much wanted to turn this communion time. I didn't want to turn away from seeking. I didn't want you to forget about the message. I just wanted to keep that online because I believe that you're going to benefit from that. You know, I don't preach, Pastor Dave doesn't preach, none of us preach just to do a show. We do it to change lives. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, to change my life and your life. He didn't come for a show. He was meek and mild, and he had a heart for the people. And as I was walking around there just then, and Brother Graham here said, let me take that. I think we can learn from that action that Jesus is saying to you and to me, let me take that. Seek me. Let me take that problem. Let me help you. Let me show you. Let me support you. Let me be a pillar to your life. Thank you for the bread, Lord. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for everything, Lord Jesus, that you did on Calvary's tree. Your broken body, the crown of thorns that was thrust into your brow. Your side was riven. Your back, your body was bruised for our iniquities. And you did it. And all you could say when you were on that cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. There's an old song that says, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And I can tell you tonight, you're still on his mind. You're close to his heart. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together, church. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. Every drop that spilt from Calvary's tree was for you and for me. One drop of blood that day changed everything. Changed everything for all time. And there's nothing greater than communing with him. Communing together, fellowshipping together as a church in him. I want you to go out this week. Be encouraged. Seek God. Don't do it. Don't go it alone anymore. You don't have to go it alone. He's there. His hand's not too short. He's able. He's willing. And he's all powerful. And he's on your side. Allow him to have his way in your family, in your ministry, in your workplace, in your church. And I, Father God, just pray an anointing, Father God, upon each person in this room. Wherever there are needs, wherever there are hurts, wherever there is anything that the enemy has brought against them or that has been even self-inflicted, I thank you, Lord, that you would bring deliverance to hearts and lives tonight. And that he whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.